So just to wrap things up, yeah. Have you guys had a good weekend? Slept enough? Ate enough? Yes. Now you guys only have to keep the five precepts. You can have dinner. And hopefully you've learnt a few meditation tips that can you can take with you and use it whenever you decide to meditate. Yeah, so like I was saying before, one of the reasons why these like good practitioners can meditate so well by just leaving things alone is because of the practices, the kind of life that they were living outside of their meditation practice. Yeah. So there is a very, 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 very strong link between what you do outside of your meditation. And that boils down to just one's behavior and how one lives one's life. Yeah. So when we talk about Buddhism, we also talk about the Eightfold Path or right view, which basically means just knowing what to do with one's life and guiding it in a way where we are living a virtuous life. And that comes down to like the kind of work that we're doing. We're not lying and cheating and hurting other people. It comes down to how we speak to one another. It also comes down to our thoughts and our intentions. So everything that we do contributes to our success or not so successful meditation. And when you meditate, the meditation is sort of like a mirror of how you've been living. Yeah. So when you're meditating and there's like anger in your meditation, then yeah, how have you been living? Maybe you're a person with a short temper, or you know, you're kind of judgmental. So yeah, you start to reflect and understand that there are some changes that we can make to our behavior. And yeah, it's like we just, yeah, so we're just trying to do things to better our lives, to try to live like this idea of being selfless, I think, is a great contributor to one's happiness and well-being. Yeah, just try to think about doing some selfless acts of kindness without expecting anything in return. So you can sort of understand why, like monks like Ajahn Brahm, why he is, you know, so happy. Is because a lot of the time he's doing all these selfless acts of kindness for other people. Yeah. You know, he goes around the world teaching the Dhamma, and he doesn't expect, you know, anything in return. Yeah. If you go to his monastery, it's not a lavish monastery. It's actually quite frugal. He lives quite simply in the cave, and he has his own like room that he's had for the last 30 years, and he's quite happy and content just living that way. So, you know, he could be a monk that would go out there and teach and say, oh, I want this, I want that. But he doesn't do that. He does these things like selflessly. Yeah. And that's something that we can sort of add, I think we can add into our lives as well as lay people living out in the world. You know, like there's, I think there's many, many opportunities out there to just get involved, maybe like a soup kitchen or going into monasteries, help out with the gardening. And you can sense that these things bring happiness into people's lives. Yeah. Like people who have volunteered their time, say like Christina and Scotty, and we have the retreat managers that just volunteer their time and help run the retreat. I'm pretty sure they get some sort of happiness out of doing this. And in a sense, you're actually finding something meaningful to do. Just adding that little bit of meaning into your life brings that joy, that inner happiness that helps with the meditation. Yeah. Because just like an example, just living with this other monk that I'm living with, and you know, sometimes when we're living in Serpentine, we're just like another monk in the monastery. We don't really have that opportunity to contribute into something like meaningful. Yeah. So monastery life is sort of like you wake up in the morning, you go have breakfast, and then the workmaster tells you what to do. So if he tells you to sweep, that's your job, you just sweep. So that's the contribution that you make when you make in the monastery. So in a sense it's like it's not very meaningful. So so this situation for this monk, the reason why it becomes more meaningful to him is because he is doing something that he would like to do, and it's also at the same time an act of selflessness, because he's not doing it to gain anything. He's not doing it to be noticed that he's doing something. He's just doing it because he finds it is a way for him to contribute something back to the monastery. So his like project is to try to revegetate Kusala Hermitage. Yeah. And I live with him for a long time, and I can see you know, how much joy and how much happiness that this brings him. Because it's something that he wants to do, and it gives him meaning. Yeah. So that's something that you can also look at in your lives. You know, it's not necessarily you have to go serve a monastery, or I don't know what opportunities are out there, but just look for something that you want to do and it's meaningful, and also that it's selfless. Yeah. Selfless. So it brings that like inner happiness to one's life. And yeah, so you know, those are the little things that we can do. I always like the story about the Buddhist gardener. It's one of my favorite stories, so I like to share it with people. And it's just about how one can develop one's life in a manner where it's not so difficult to develop a virtuous lifestyle. And the story is about the Buddhist gardener, and there's like two types of gardeners. So the first gardener is like the control freak, pull out every weed type of gardener. So they'll go into the garden, they'll see a weed and they'll pull it out, and then they'll step back and they'll just look at the garden in a critical manner, and they're thinking about, oh, what am I going to do next season, or what am I going to plant, or how can I make it prettier? And all they're doing is focusing on the faults to make their garden look beautiful. So on the other hand, there is the Buddhist gardener, and he's the wise one. Yeah. So he goes into his garden, he has the plants that he likes to keep, you know. And that's all he focuses on. He focuses on his plants. He doesn't focus on the weeds. He doesn't focus on the pests that are coming in to munch on his plants. He's just focusing on looking after his garden. So he waters the plants that he loves, and he leaves everything else. And over time, because he's focusing on the good, the flowers, they just grow so big that they overcome all the weeds and all the problems in the garden. So in the same way, as people, trying to figure out their own lives and trying to make it better, sometimes we focus on trying to get rid of all the unwholesome states of mind. We're trying to get rid of all the bad stuff. And that is a valid way of doing it. But there's also another way of doing it where we just start to focus on the good side, like our kindness, being selfless, going with the flow, not getting in people's way, those kinds of qualities we can develop as human beings. And we just focus on those. Yeah. And after a while, you start to notice that these unwholesome qualities, they kind of like disappear. Yeah, they're not there so much anymore, because your mind or your being has changed over time, and the goodness has become stronger. So yeah, that's just a little skillful tip that you can use to try to add that goodness to your life. That would in turn help with your meditation practice. Yeah. So yeah. And there's other things as well. there's always like this idea of mindfulness as well that we can practice throughout our daily lives too, and that's always helpful. Yeah. A little story is when Ajahn Brahm tells about this office worker that before he has like a big meeting, he wants to prepare his mind, and the way to prepare his mind is to just be mindful, so he can gather himself, he can calm himself down before the meeting. So what he does before the meeting, instead of jumping into a car, be on his cell phone and just head straight to the meeting, he'll just take a different route so that he could calm down, make his mind calm, so he'll be ready for the meeting. So instead of taking the shortcut, he'll just take a walk. He'll just take a walk. He'll walk up the stairs, get into the elevator. He's not distracted by his phone. And he'll just do this mindfully. Yeah. And that way he can better prepare himself for the meeting. So, yeah. Mindfulness, like whenever you can, bringing your awareness back into your body throughout your day is always a good thing, I think. Yeah. Okay. So, right now we can do a guided meditation. This is the last one. And we can just be grateful for all the help that we've had on this retreat. Yeah, the teachings that we've got. And yeah, just sending out good energy to other people and to oneself. So we can just allow our minds to calm down. And this is a time where we can just give thanks to the people that have made this retreat possible. We can give thanks to the retreat managers who have given up their weekend selflessly to help make it a possibility to have this weekend retreat. And we just allow the feelings of thankfulness to arise as we're thanking them for their efforts. We can also give thanks to the to the people that cooked our supper over the last 3 nights. It does take a lot of effort to be in the kitchen, to cut up the vegetables, to cook the vegetables, to clean up, scrub the pans, mop the floor, all the amount of effort that the people who cooked you your supper has put in. We can give them thanks as well. And as you're doing this, just remember to also experience the peace and quietness in the mind. And we can also give thanks to the people who bought us our lunch every day. It's a different group each day. I'm pretty sure that they use their own money, or other people help them with the money to buy the food, to buy the vegetables, the rice, the eggplant, the beans, the asparagus. It's not cheap. That's a lot of money. And just to be thankful that a stranger, a person that we don't know, were happy to support us because we're here to learn how to meditate. We can be thankful for their kindness. We can be grateful to all the volunteers that have made it possible for us to have this retreat, from the getting our bedrooms ready to making sure the hall's warm. Or having everything provided to us so our stay here in Jhana Grove can be a comfortable one. So we can be thankful for all those involved that made this possible. We can be thankful for our fellow retreatants for being such good company on this retreat by giving us silence, by trying to keep quiet and not disturbing you in your rooms, by giving you the space to be able to move at your own pace with your own practice, so we can be thankful, have a sense of appreciation for those who were on the retreat with us. and be thankful to the Buddha. Without the Buddha, there wouldn't be a jhana grove. There wouldn't be this beautiful path of meditation that we can experience. So we can show a great thanks and appreciation for the Buddha. Even though we don't know who he is, even though he was alive many, many years ago, and maybe there is a sense of disconnect there, but I think we all understand that it came from this monk who lived many, many, many years ago. Yeah. We can also thank ourselves for giving ourselves this opportunity to work on our minds, to do what we can, to develop a sense of contentment and some inner happiness. We can thank ourselves for trying to do something that is helpful for ourselves. So you can give yourself a pat on the back. It's Mother's Day. So we can just take a bit of time, think up of some words of kindness, ponder it, bring up some wholesome feelings and thoughts, and we can just thank our mothers And because we don't discriminate, we can thank our fathers as well for teaching us how to climb trees or hold a cricket bat. Or, I don't know, stuff that dads do for their kids. Just a person that looked after us as a child, providing the things that we need to live and get educated. We can always find something to be thankful for. So you just spend a few moments just thanking your parents. So now we can just sit quietly for another 10 minutes, and then we can end the retreat. you're free. The gates are open. You can drive out now. So yeah, we can finish off. Yeah. I'll just sit up here for a little while, and if you want to come up and just say goodbye or have a little chat, we can. But other than that, yeah, you're free to go. I'm sure you can stay in the cottage for a couple of more days.